be after lunch so that I have my full hour.
Oh.
Well, there'll be an uprising.
I'm gonna get the hook.
Not sure what I can add, Dr. Long, but I'm also through most of my slides, so I think they're trying to move me along, you know, like shorten it up.
Should we call you Rory?
Rory. Oh, yeah, so the story behind this is I'm the president of the Florida chapter of APA, and our annual conference was last week during the Masters, and the theme this year was Masters of Facilities. So all the board members got Masters jackets.
Yeah, wow.
The Augusta police are waiting outside.
Yeah.
There's probably a serious fine for this. Somebody turned it. They'll probably come after me. But just to get off track and so that I stay on the bad side, we did get our National Operational Excellence Award, which I'll be presenting for the number one college and finance accounting department in the United States. We're in the process of completing a five-year plant survey, which will be followed by our five-year master plan next year. We must complete this in order to continue the advancement of extra programming. So like Dr. Long talked about, these things must be in place and we must be approved for all of these programs in advance. And so that's what we're undertaking right now with her help and my team. So. This year we're working on completion of just over 100 projects. I have the clicker. So we're going to highlight a couple of the maintenance projects. Okay. Go forward. Oh, here we go. Just a couple of the larger maintenance projects, and then we'll move into a couple of projects that were completed, and then what we're going into. You may not remember that with all the things that were presented, we did an envelope restoration of the health science building, which you guys actually toured the interior of about 4 or 5 months ago. We're finding a lot of our facilities are around the same age, from the 60s and 70s, and we're starting to get a lot of water intrusion, so we're addressing this. This one is particularly important because it's a tension cable building. If you're familiar with that, they tension cables across and then pour the concrete to make the floors, which is the design of the building that fell in Miami a few years ago, if you remember that. So we must keep up with some of these maintenance items. And if you'll remember, the inside of this building was orange and yellow when you last saw it. So since then, where did it go? It's now blue, so it's missing. So this one's complete, and now we've moved over to a new growth center. This one's a very complicated building because of the number of roofs that are on this building and accessing them. So we are working on the northern side now, the blue, that's complete as we're working around the building. You'll see this window should be sealed and caulked. It was at one time, but it's no longer. So when we get done, that'll be resealed and caulked. And there is a lot of windows on this building, as you can remember. The entire building will be resealed, recalled, windows glazed, and then we'll put a ceiling on the building and then paint it. Here we go, I'm ordered. So this is the interior of the health science, which was a gold and red last time you saw it. No, that's once we did the repairs, we went back and repainted everything. Some of you, almost all of you, got to see the Qantas Health Science Technology Hall. We have the libraries up now to the second floor. The elevator arrived this week, so 3 weeks late, as we expected, later than the elevator company said, so they're now installing that. And as soon as the elevator gets in, we get a certificate of occupancy, then Qantas will move right into their new space. And it looks like this, if you didn't get to see it. So this is the space Dr. Long talked about. We're going to expand up to 100 students now. Because of this renovation and the space being expanded. Just a reminder, this is the lobby, and then this building too has a lot of windows, so there's a lot of nice views out the back of campus with this building. Downstairs, if you're there, you got to see the nursing sim lab. So if you're in New Smyrna, now we have this here. The nursing sim labs are very similar. Students go in, they do simulation on patients. This is like a live room, and then while the rest of the class gets to observe, not grade, but you know, they're learning from the other's mistakes and what they're doing, taking notes. I called this young lady, or she called me as I was sneaking in to take a picture. She was like, "What are you doing?" So I kind of scared her a little bit, but you can see as they're observing different classrooms, simulation labs, it's a very interactive process. This is the Land Building 6 project that Dr. Long spoke of, where we moved the academic support and the library and a computer lab up to the second floor of 6B in order to make room for the renovations in the Land Building 1. So you can tell that there's a lot of medical that goes on in here with all the modeling and stuff. And then the second one shows you the much more efficient library that we have in that space now. So I'll point out what the size of the library used to be as we get down to the Land Building, but this is where we are now. Just a brief overview of the site work we're doing for the residence hall. The in-ground site work now is 100% complete, so this was about 2 months ago, a month ago. This is the exfiltration that we do for underground storm maintenance. So we don't push storm water out to the city. We try to keep it on campus, we push it right into the ground. So this is like a huge, huge, huge French drain. We capture it, it seeps into the ground, and it goes right into the water system. Same thing in the multi-purpose field across the street. All of the in-ground work is now done. This is actually the city's sanitary line that we're reinstalling and improving for them. And then this is the current site location. The restroom facility is up and operational. The other small white building is our storage for soccer. And then golf simulation is going to be on the south side. So we'll probably take a tour of that in a few months. That's probably going to come on in June-ish. Biggest obstacle right now is getting the sod in, and then we need 30, 45 days to get that grown in before we start playing on it. So we just went through this building. I just did a few befores and afters before we had this nice green motif. This is where we're at now with college colors. It made a lot of sense to go with the athletic colors, the blues and the whites and the silvers. Same thing in the hallway. We have the nice green tiles.
Much better.
This is the old gymnasium. Got a shot of it before. Darren, which was, believe it or not, this was a week ago.
Wow.
1 week ago. So
yeah.
The wood flooring, the subflooring has gone in the last week. That process to finish this will take at least another month. So now they have to come in, sand, seal, paint all the colors that you saw for the new design. Then they'll put a top coat on it. And then we still got to go back and do the bleacher system. So that by itself will probably take a couple of weeks, just installation. And there's the new design that you saw. So, all right, so this one I've got a few slides on because this is very important. This is our most important major project for next year, which we're already working on. This is the airframe and power plant site at the airport. This is Bellevue extended as it comes off. And then we're going to enter, which is already a secure gate here, into our property. This little purple line, just so you know, is the property that the airport is trying to get back, or they have future plans to expand their taxiway. So we're right adjacent to a taxiway landing strip just on the north side there. They don't currently have a taxiway that comes into this area, so we're working with them to save that for them, and so we don't have to go back and undevelop something that we've already put money into. So we are putting in parking already here. We're putting in some extra parking. This is a future site for expansion. So if we decide, or the program decides that, hey, this thing's going to grow, or we need more aerospace type facilities out there, we're leaving that open for expansion. Any questions on that? I'll go into the building. It's a little more interesting. This is the airport's request. I just threw that up there. It's the same one I just thought through. So this is what the first floor looks like. You'll notice, as Dr. Long talked about, there are actually aircraft that are going to go in this facility. Students will be working on actual aircraft, as well as components of the aircraft, whether it's landing gear, They'll work on jet engines, they'll work on prop engines, everything, every component to do with the airplane, they'll be working on it. And these are actually labs within the huge labs, which is actually a hangar, but we're calling it a lab. There's a reason, a coding reason for that. So the other labs will be things such as welding, electronics. Those things will be actually in lab classrooms. Tool storage is up here. There's a huge amount of tools that come with this program. This is the office area, which opens into an atrium for common use and then out into a patio. And then we're also providing a break room for faculty, students, and staff. You'll notice that there are windows in these areas, so as people come in for tours or students come through, they'll be, actually be able to watch the actual class in session without interrupting the class. And then we'll have the same thing I'll put out on the second floor as well. Second floor, just a continuation, classrooms above the labs. So there's four classrooms now. This is just an open area as well as the hangar is just an open, so you're looking down at the hangar. This is the co-branded front of the building. So currently this is still in design. We don't have drawings on this yet. So what we're looking at right now is at Daytona State / Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University airframe and power plant building. We are going through some DE options, so you may not see these shutters across the front. That tends to be a kind of an expensive thing. We can go with window tinting and try to keep the sun and some of that out versus these expensive shutters. So we're looking at also changing from this design to like a storefront window, which will save us a lot of money. So we go through that with every project, trying to save money, trying to stay in budget, trying to get money back to the college. We have some money from the state, as Dr. Mosso talked about, but we're also committing $2 million to this as well. So the more that we can get back, it goes right back into the coffers for the projects. Have another view, same front of the building. This one's not co-branded yet, so I just have one. And then this is the rear of the building, which shows this will be a huge hangar door that opens up for planes to come in and out, and then just the common break areas. What you don't see here is fencing that will come off this building. So this will be in a secure area. Once you pass through these doors, you're onto the secure area of the airport. So students, faculty that pass through that will have to be badged by the airport and pass security checks and all that kind of stuff. So it's quite a lengthy process, not just getting the FAA certification, but maintaining that security zone.
They have to go through security even to get to the building?
No. They won't. So once they enter here, this will be our gate. This blue line will be our fence line. So anything that's inside the fence belongs to us.
Okay.
And we're not in their security zone.
Okay.
So if we go outside that for anything, coming out of this hangar, see the hangar's open here?
Uh-huh.
We're in the airport security zone then, and they can come get you.
Okay.
So there's cameras everywhere as you go to the airport. They're watching, monitoring 24/7. So another shot of the hangar, planes, these are labs.
Now, would you be able to get to the other parking spot from that entrance?
Say that one more time.
You can get to the other parking
spot? Yes, from yes. That entrance? Yeah, so we did two entrances, Dr. Mosso, and two reasons. This is an improved drive. This will be an unimproved drive. Two reasons for that. One is this is for expansion parking. But the other reason is we're working with the city. There is a huge forced main sanitary line, like 48 inches, that's been in the ground for 30 plus years. Nobody wants to touch it. There's a 30 plus irrigation reclaim line that goes out west, and another water line that run through this area right here. So if we can keep construction trucks off of this parking lot, we reduce the likelihood of that line being damaged. We do not want to get into that at all, period. So we're going to bring construction in through this temporary line to the building and keep the big trucks off the utilities. So that was a discussion with the city utilities, Daytona Beach. This is county property, but city utilities still run through the area. So any other questions on? Okay, I'll keep going. think that's the last one. Oh, no, the lobby. So this is the concept of the lobby. You'll see the viewing areas here from the first floor onto the lab. So again, it's just a recruiting tool. Kids are coming through with their parents. Classes are going on. It gets loud out there, the riveting and the welding. And they'll be able to see what's going on as part of the program without going into the lab. Okay, we're going to the land. So this one is just for location. Most of you were at the shooting range when we did that grand opening. Building 8 is directly adjacent to the shooting range and the tactical pavilion. So this will finish up a law enforcement piece. All of this will be law enforcement in this area. The building will look now like this. Right now, several classrooms. We're demoing all those classrooms to make a tactical training area. This is where they complete their hand-to-hand combat. So it'll be padded walls, padded floors. They'll have workout, like chin-up racks and stuff around the room for working out. And then they'll actually have a locker room. They'll have to change clothes when they come in because they get into, you know, shorts and t-shirts for this grappling. It's really grappling and that sort of thing. And then a workout area. They'll have some treadmills and things like that. So as part of the group is not in that part of the program, they'll have them doing conditioning. So conditioning is part of the police program. They have to run. We actually put the running track, if you remember, on the driving pad. So that's getting in condition and getting in shape. Passing that is part of that. Building 1, location again. So building 8, building 1. So this is where we are with the this building. This was the library. Started here, went all the way to the back. We had to do a complete overhaul of this building. We started with the scope, and the scope was out of our budget. It was to demo all of these walls and start with a fresh frame. So what we've gone back to is keeping the classrooms, keeping the walls, and just doing a renovation of the interior, and then we're building out the offices in the middle. So we saved just over $1 million by that approach. And then Dr. Basso had this one. This is a little bit bigger. This is the manatee. Well sprung. It's actually a piece of art, and we're calling it reborn because we're bringing it back. So actually, this has been on Dr. Basso's list since I've been here, and I don't know how many years before that. I guess since the old library was torn down.
It sat in the fountain outside the old library, and we took it out, and it's a really nice piece. We got the baby manatee there, so.
It's
needed to bring it back.
It's 12 feet long. It's hard to tell from this picture how big it is, but it's a huge piece. So proximity. It's going to go here in the quad. This is Galeron Student Center, Worthall, so the administration building. And it's not going to be a triangle shape. I just kind of took out this piece. It's going to go into this intersection of the sidewalk, kind of face the Student Center. And we are trying to get it into, it's a round configuration. So here's your pie shape that's going this way. Manatee will sit in the middle with a little fountain. We're doing VE on this right now. We're probably going to pull out these concrete seats and actually just put in seats later. Much more cost effective. And we've gone from pavers to stamped concrete, so that'll save us about $30,000. So we're working through VEs on that now. You'll see that this afternoon as one of the presentations. Okay, UCF. So we've got a couple of slides on this. Orientation-wise, this is the Worthall Center administration. This is the parking lot where you guys normally park when you come for a board meeting. In a few months, six maybe, whenever they get their funding, this parking will be gone. So this is a very underutilized parking area. It's not very efficient. After multiple discussions and moving the building around, this is where we landed. They're creating a pedestrian-friendly zone between the two buildings. They're also connecting this building with our current building 150. And so this building at one time was 4 stories, about 75,000 square feet. They've scaled it back. And one reason they scaled it back is we asked them to help us improve our building. So this building currently does not look like this. It's a brick front building. We want the buildings to match.
I didn't think we asked them. I thought they just offered it.
They did offer it, but I made it I brought it up and they liked that, so. this is the shot as you come into campus for the Northlight. during pedestrian friendly area here, which is part of parking. This is their building, and then our current facility, which is that red brick building as you park on that campus. So this is what we're getting. We're getting this facade update, and then the bridge that goes over. And then they're going to recommend also, we asked the architect to also give us some recommendations to help us improve the interior to, for the two buildings to match up too, so.
Just a, I mean, I don't want to interrupt the big picture, but with, especially with some of this nice new construction, you know, well, I think one of the things that takes a beating on any campus environment is the sod, right? And it, you either constantly replacing it or you're maintaining it, and it just, it ends up being a detractor from this. Have you guys ever looked at, and because I don't know the math, right? Have you ever looked at artificial turf that is, today looks like natural turf, except you don't have to maintain it,
right?
And what it would do to the aesthetics of this, and it, and also virtually reducing any maintenance.
We have looked at it for some athletic fields, but I don't think we've ever looked at it in common areas as it comes up. So something we can consider.
I just think it'd be interesting to get a, you know, a 5-year. What does it look like?
Yeah.
You know, I have a, of course, Nellie, I have a putting green in my, at my house that's now 13 years old, and it looks like it did 13 years ago.
You're just basically sweeping it, just keeping it there.
Yeah, blow it off.
Blow it off.
Yeah, 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 that's it.
Okay, that's very something to consider for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. It's kind of like, you know, rock versus mulch. You got that upfront cost, but then it's just, those are so beautiful.
Yes.
Right? And yeah. But you go by and people wear a path through, or the sprinkler, the irrigation system malfunction. You have to put irrigation. You don't have to put irrigation in,
right,
in any artificial surface. Right. So I'm just, for whatever it's worth.
Okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
Is this already all fully funded for
them? It's not.
No. So it'll be
nothing.
This is probably going to be another 2 to 3 years. I think I heard they got another $5 million in for it.
What's the total project cost?
60-some-odd million.
Wow.
Today.
25 million so far.
They have 25 in it?
25 so far.
So far.
They have 25 in last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got one back with us. Like, they have. They should have been just like we are. And this is their primary focus is going, we think it's going to be the risk and insurance.
Oh, yeah.
Piece.
So. Yeah, I think they got 20 million the first year, 5 million last year, and I think they have another 5 coming. And
that means you're only halfway there.
Yeah, so it's going to take, you know, as you know, Senator Leak elevates into the system, it'll hopefully get knocked out quicker, but that's still a couple years.
Yeah.
But I think the thing we accomplished here is, I think, a location that works for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it follows the landscape of the buildings that we have, and it's still going to be very prominent. You know, you'll be able to see it.
But you're losing parking and adding people, right?
We are in the schemes. They are adding parking. They've got recommendations like, you know, we have some parking islands in the front and in the back. Now, I did mention to the president and to Alan when you work with them is, rather than take out a lot of parking islands in the front, mm-hmm. I'd rather take them out in the back so that the front looks a little bit nicer when you have islands with trees to break up that, you know, I don't like it to look like the Volusia Mall, you know.
Right.
So I'd want to minimize how many of those we take out in the front. I'd rather take them out in the back. So working on with that. So they have a plan to enhance. It basically replaces what parking they are taking and maybe adding a little bit, not much. I keep reminding them that they're adding people to it.
Right.
So, you know, I keep asking for more parking spots, you know, and, you know, they're trying to do it within that budget per se. So that may be something, you know, while they're doing it, if we want to add some, or, you know, we may come and ask, can we put X dollars in the mm-hmm. getting it right and, you know, getting the parking right.
Are there opportunities for more parking?
Yeah, there, I think there's, you know, there's we have islands in the back, you know, more than I think they probably their budget will take that we can clear out and there's, I don't mean to have them, I'll show you some of the spots that we can enhance parking.
There's an odd entrance in front of building 150 as well that's not used as much, so you can come around. So we still have entrances on Hilton and then Mary McLeod into campus north and yeah. east, and then we have that odd one by 150. If we take that drive and then there's some green island there, and we take that's probably 30 or 40 spots.
I think they're including that in
there. They are. Yeah. They're including that with their project.
Yeah, okay. they're taking that part out to put parking there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So sometimes you see how busy it is, like from Tom's office.
Yeah.
And you look out into the parking lot.
Yeah, it's full. It's,
yeah.
I mean, it is full. Mm-hmm. You see people slowly driving, looking for someone to leave.
Yeah.
So.
Especially early fall, mm-hmm. you know, everybody comes to campus for right. everything. It's they were full. And then we're still planning on the new residence hall, so that'll be 300 kids parking on campus, you know, okay. full time. They're here. They park, they're here. So
that'll
be a big thing. So that's all the ones I brought forward. Any questions?
Yeah, we're going to continue. We'll continue to nudge the parking issue.
We got a long ways to go, though, as you can see.
Yeah.
The prospects are good, though. It's like I always talk about the Hilton down there on at the center of Daytona Beach when it was a Marriott and first constructed, and it was like it didn't quite work out for them. So then it was Adams Mark, and then it's, you know, Hilton. But it's like, if you inherit it and you've got the property, it's like, you know, you might be a successor to it. It's great to have it on your campus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think we can figure these things out as we get closer.
Yeah. And the current game plan is we will occupy the first floor of that building.
Yeah.
Which is, so we're going to gain some real estate. So we're going to move our center of business and industry there. And,
yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Good afternoon, District Board of Trustees. It's my pleasure to provide some residence hall updates. This way?
I was just doing it. Alan broke it.
Oh, yeah, push it over.
Oh, you really got to push it.
That way.
Yes, they will push for me. All right. Okay, so our students that live on campus were able to offer 256 beds every academic year. And most of our students are from Florida, but we do get to see, which is fascinating, they come from all over the world and all over the nation. And these students are doing extremely well. Being near all of the resources we have, the Academic Support Center for tutoring, the library, the Writing Center, the average GPA is above 3.0. So they're doing very well living on campus and having that access. Alrighty, so the applications. We continue to see a very strong trend in the demand. If you look at the first table for the fall 26, spring 27 academic year, you can see we've already surpassed previous years, with the exception of last year, which has been like a record-breaking year for us. However, the application is going to be open for a few more months, and so there's a possibility that we could either meet or beat last year's numbers. I do want to bring some attention to that second table at the bottom. That's our application summary. When we close the application, that's the total that we have. And for the spring only, these are students that did not get in for the annual contract, and so they apply to be here just for the spring semester. So if you look at that data, whether it's the annual contract or the spring-only contracts, there's a strong desire to live on campus, to be close to the resources, and to get access to that affordable housing.
You hear me talk about that 1,300 applications, and we had like 30 beds available.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
These students have a great time on campus to provide the support, the programming, the events, the activities, and they really do have that full college experience. We've been full every year since opening in fall 2022, and in the summer, we have students on campus, we also have other visitors. So we have, as we have had in previous years, interns from Brown and Brown and NASCAR, as well as several internal and external athletic camps. For the first time this year, we're going to be having a flag football camp for middle school male students, and we've never had that, so we're happy to bring that on board. We hope that goes well and can continue that every summer going forward. So that really is my brief highlight. Anything to add, Dr. Labasso? Any questions?
No, I mean, we're, you know, we work with Randy to have a conversation with an individual and in terms of fundraising, and then we have others lined up. So I think we're ready to really accelerate the fundraising effort to get this going. And Dr. Howard mentioned, and you know, that perhaps at some point, I don't know if we're there quite yet, but that maybe perhaps we can do an ITN and with the banks to see if they could look at combining, looking at us as a housing system instead of a standalone, where we could leverage the Res Hall 1 assets and profit towards the monthly debt service. Mm-hmm. So, there could be a point where we can do that, because the Res Hall 1 is netting over $200,000 a year. A combination of utilizing that, maybe having to tweak rents a little bit in Res Hall 1 to help cover the debt service for Res Hall 2. So there's, I think Dr. Howard is also, a lot of us were at that point, like, we really want to try to see what we can do to get this thing going. It's been so successful, and I think that next one just will then just launch us into a different stratosphere in terms of the on-campus experience.
I think the other thing too, Tom, is there may be some opportunities in terms of getting, like, this rate that we have right now is only good for another 5 years or thereabouts, I think.
I think on it. Yeah. Calls at 12, I think.
Yeah, so about the rate though, it just after 10 years.
The 10-year put up.
Oh, is it 10? Yeah. Oh, yeah, sorry, 10. So 10, yeah.
So we probably got another 5 years on the rate.
That's not right.
Part of that was the construction phase.
Correct.
Too.
Yeah.
So I think there may be some opportunities in the market to even get as long as a 20-year type interest rate.
Yeah.
And the market, I think the versus when we were going into it, because of everything that was, when at that time we're coming, dealing with COVID and all that, is I think the margins that the banks might be willing to take and accept right now are better than what, we ended up getting a great rate anyway because of the fact that the rates were so low at that point. And, so that's fortunate. But the combination of the two, I agree with Randy, and that could end up being in our favor.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi everyone, how are you? I'll start with my Res Hall part, since we're talking about Res Hall as well. I do have a slide. We did hit the 5 million mark, which we're really excited about for our Res Hall 2 campaign. We just have about 11 million more to go. But we've been trying to just piecemeal it, give presentations that we've been working on. Someone asks someone for the whole 10 million, 11 million, or possibly sell some naming rights to Res Hall 1. Tom and I did some plaques and Res Hall one that we sold to, you know, businesses, $5,000. So we've been really working on the campaign. I know it's really, really important to Dr. Labasso and just to the campus. You can see such a difference for homecoming and sporting events and just the success of the culinary students that give the interviews. So we're still working on that. So basically, we had a great year again, I feel like, in the foundation. We raised about $2.7 million. We gave out around $1.6 million in scholarships and program funds to students in 2025. We worked very closely with financial aid to give the scholarships out, and that actually does not even include the $500,000 that we got from the state for the nursing. So this is just the foundation part of it. So we were able to award, because of that state match from the nursing grant last year, $500,000 to nurses, which was huge for our students. The Boots and Blaine Gala, we honored some pretty special people this year, so thanks for everybody's support. I think it was great. I think it was, Jody was awesome on the mic, but it was, you know, it's just a fun event. I've had some people say, Kristen, change the name of it. I said, I'm not. I think people really, they're into Boots and Blaine. We can work with it a little bit, but you're thinking about your outfit like 3 months before, I think, sometimes, so I don't want to change it. Well, we raised between that and Cork and Fork about $220,000. Obviously, I always want to raise some more. This year, we're already way ahead of our Cork and Fork numbers, so that's coming up in 2 weeks. We've sold, gosh, I think almost 30 tables, where last year we probably sold about 21 tables, so we're doing a great job with Cork and Fork. Each year, we're trying to just bring new people in, obviously, get them, you know, I want to raise the price a little bit more too, or let me raise it $10 a share for the ticket, but I think the more people that we can get to these events and showcase our culinary and showcase all of our programs is just huge and really helping us. This is just a little snapshot. We just had our meeting, our foundation meeting, and you know, in my best Bobby Thigpen voice, hey Hanson, how much was the endowed portion when Labasso started? So I said, I'll show this slide. So in 2015, our total net assets were 24 million. And now the end of 2025, we're 54 million. So I think we've brought in a lot of great donations. A couple really good years of the market has helped with this too. But I think the consistency of just our alumni giving, our individuals, but we've really, I think last year, at the end of 2024, it was 47 million, so we had another nice year. And thanks to the another $1 million from Halifax for the Line Grant, we already received the 100% match from that as well, from the state. So that just goes to our nursing expansion and being able to help all the students. This just breaks it down a little bit into alumni, individuals, businesses. Really focusing on the alumni giving, that's up about, 25% from last year. When I saw that number, $795 million impact I want to have them give more, you know, but it's a matter of tracking them, making sure they're coded as alumni in the system. So we've really been working hard with building all of our alumni giving.
Just a reference, when I became president, we didn't have a director of alumni, so we created that. So we really had started with almost zero in alumni giving. You know, we had some, but it was little, 20-some thousand a year maybe. So we created the position, and so we've seen some nice growth there, and I think a lot more potential ahead.
Yeah, I was just telling Jody that the sonography first class, two of the graduates came up to thank us because we started the first sonography scholarship. So two of them came up to the office to take a picture and thank us for the scholarship, and then I gave them some alumni swag, like, okay, you're an alumni now, so give us your information. So I think it's just a matter of bringing them in and letting them know if it's a two-year degree, if it's a welding degree, if it's a four-year degree, they're still Daytona State alumni.
We're doing some things to be more intentional too, like, you know, with every year we have, we Kristen coordinates, but we have letters from the coaches going to their alums. Because obviously it's a tight-knit group, and I know Joey Cannon's basketball, he had a couple of players that were recent graduates. I think they're still in school. They were still at their university, and they got NIL money, and they made a donation back to the college, which was nice.
Yeah, there's a couple in our 2026 numbers that we've received. Here's our Res Hall. We hit the $5 million. We were really happy, but we still have $11 million to go. But we're working hard to get it. This is just a few pictures of you know, we did a combined alumni, again, just doing more events for alumni, doing more events for existing students. So the existing students came out to meet all of the former soccer alumni, men, women. They played a match together, which was really great. Did a cookout. We actually had some other alumni that came back to perform it, but now it's starting to build momentum. And now other departments, we're doing, just this May, we're doing a music and technology program alumni event, where some of these students are, they're opening up for big acts now. Like, they're singing and they're writing for the Kardashians on the backside. So we've got about, I think, 30 of them that have RSVP'd. We're doing an alumni, kind of a congratulations graduation for the teacher apprentice. Is that what it is, Jody? The first class that's coming out, teacher apprentice program, just so they know, okay, here, you're an alumni, just keep coming back and give in to the school, because they all receive some great scholarships. And homecoming, of course, is a big weekend. It was great.
I would say, all of this was really non-existent. You know, we didn't have alumni weekends. We didn't have homecoming, and so this is, you know, in 10 years in the making, of 11 years of creating this, and the Res Hall, back to Res Hall, helps this part of it. You know, that campus life and a place to come back to and things like that.
Yeah, we take the opportunity Friday night. You know, I like to throw a good party, so we have a good happy hour that Friday night. We piggybacked off of the Heart Walk this year and I invited a bunch of donors to walk in the Heart Walk with us, but also come back then and participate in the first night of homecoming. Our festival was even bigger and better for us this year. It's our third year of doing it, partnering with One Daytona. We had the beer samples, we had pasta making salsa with tequila in it, which was interesting. Our jazz ensemble played. I'm stealing Antonio's thunder, so when he shows you that later, act like you haven't seen that. Dr. Labasso couldn't make it this year, so I had SGA come out and they did some group activities with the kids in the kid zone. And then I had them come up and do the check presentation for the donation with me. But also the kid zone was packed with cosmetology and barbering. It was packed with all the art again. SGA was there. This year we did a little something different. We had our interior design group make centerpieces for the VIP area, where the VIP area was all donors and all community partners. So we put a little sign there, like, and so everybody's like, you have that program? We didn't even know that you have that program. So it's just, again, another learning. Here's our art festival. I had shirts made called the Foundation. I think they look better than Eric's, but I'm not sure. But we're just honestly trying to get out everywhere. I spoke at Port Orange Rotary the other day. We're trying to get to New Smyrna. This is one of our faculty members. I don't know if you remember the couple that during the hurricane lost their home. We started a scholarship for them. Randy, he's not here for this, but the LPGA ladies are starting to do on once a month, move up on the golf course. I was thinking about you maybe too. Move up to 150 yards and donate $30. So we just made like $1,500 in one round of golf. So just trying to just get the word out. And then I was able to talk about the Hope Center and tell them about our homeless students or about our food pantry or about, you know, different ways that they can give. Just a few more. We brought back this year employee giving, which I really loved. It was an employee giving breakfast where any employee that gives on their paycheck, which a lot of them give on their paycheck, every paycheck portion comes in, and they designate where they want it to go to, who they want it to go to. We did an appreciation breakfast for them this year, and it was just our way from the foundation to say thank you and to keep, hopefully they keep giving, and some of them gave big donations to the Res Hall. We started a new scholarship with NASCAR and Frank, Dr. Labasso up on stage. Kiwanis, we always get a nice $7,000 to $8,000. So it's just spreading the word, getting the word out, telling everybody what we have going on. Oops. So that's really it. I feel like I see all of you all the time, and you do see what we're doing in the community, so it's probably redundant, but we're trying to branch out more to New Smyrna, branch out to DeLand, just get, you know, we have so much going on so many campuses that it's there's so much to tell and so many people want to get involved. So
can you update us on Michelle Carter?
Yeah, I actually have. I was going to tell you. I actually have a meeting set up Tuesday. She called and she came to the Hope Center luncheon, We had a meeting with Michelle Carter and showed her the Hope Center, and she had no idea. Until you see the Hope Center, you don't understand the Hope Center, no matter how many people we tell that we have this going on. But we brought her, we took her on a tour, took her to Lunch Cafe 101. She's starting a scholarship Tuesday, actually. So thank you, Bob. I was going to tell you about that.
Great.
But it was just, she had no idea. I mean, I feel like she's been in this community. I feel like we talk about it all the time, but until you see it, you don't really, and you know, or until you hear that number of 227 homeless students that need help, you know, it doesn't really register. But yeah, so that meeting's Tuesday. I'm excited about it.
Yeah. Thank you. Bob kind of made the intro, and we had Lunch at Cafe 101, and gave her a tour, and then in that, at lunch, I mentioned, you know, obviously basketball came up, and I said, well, we have a game like the next day or 2 days later. It was when there was trustee night.
Yeah.
And so she came and watched, and we were blowing the team out so badly that all of you guys left except for her. And I stayed for the whole game, sat next to Michelle. Stayed for the entire game, the basketball game, and I think she just was impressed with, you know, the kids.
Well, she was, and just anybody who hasn't been out here to the campus just can't believe it.
Well, you know, her affiliation was with Bethune-Cookman for many years, and she was chair of the board of trustees, and she just was having a conversation, and I think this is for all of us, and it's just she commented about she'd really like to see some money go to, like, moms that are trying to go through school and, you know, and help them, and I was like, well, I have an introduction to make.
Yeah, no, thank you, because it really makes a difference, you know. I'm from Buffalo, now she's a big Buffalo Bills fan, so, you know, it's a connection.
It was a good connection.
Any questions?
Just a comment.
Yes.
I just wanted to say, you know, you guys, they've kind of briefly glazed over the effort that's being made to do this student housing project, and who we're going to go talk to is not that important right now, but the amount of effort that's been put into the proposal and the redos and all that's really pretty special. So I would love for you at some point, maybe not to have the name, but to share the effort, because it's really good.
Okay. Yeah.
Really, really good. I mean, it's now made it available to several different people. I think we'll get it done. Mm-hmm. I really
I'm
do.
Ready.
Yeah. I think we'll get it done.
Great.
I just want a pillow named
after me. I think
it's
$2 million for yeah.
I just want a pillow.
Come on, yeah.
$2 million?
$2 million, that's what we're good. But no, thank you. But it is, I mean, I think we've been cultivating and cultivating and the biggest thing, even with Hyatt Brown, is he could not really understand why we can't fund it with state funds. So
yeah,
that's
it's complicated.
Really the biggest obstacle, I think, is they see all the wonderful buildings that we're, and it's just not, you know, they don't like.
Why not? Yeah, why not build? Just build it yourself. Yeah, and, well, we can't.
Simple. It's against the law.
Yeah. Songwriters Festival. Also, sorry, I couldn't find a picture in there because I think it was from last year, the check presentation. But that's coming up. It's a week earlier than Cork and Fork. So thank you. Yeah. We always partner with and get a great donation from Gary and the team there. And I think that's next weekend too. So just cultivating all the relationships. Any questions?
Great.
I know it's time for you all to meet. Yeah. Thank you.
One other thing before I forget. Some of you may remember, we asked, I think we just did a verbal, but we'll bring an official approval next month. But we'd like to extend our strategic plan by an additional year because of the accreditation transfer. It kind of happened last time when we were doing the 10-year the way it fell. And granted that, so Jody will bring that back next month, and if you guys are okay with that. Just extending one more year on our strategic plan, that way it'll fall into the new accreditation cycle.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. All right.
They're gonna leave. And there's your evaluation materials. Ron, he's here if you need him.
Okay. Well, we have a lot to discuss here. The deficiencies are quite stark.
Yeah, that one line item.
So, really, Tom, it's hard to improve on near perfection. We try to give comments where we can and commentary, but all we have are applause. And we are so fortunate as a board and so proud of the affiliation because of your leadership. And these are blunt instruments, these forms. We try to break it down into distinct parts, but you, as you can see, it's you're off the charts. So I'm going to leave it at that. I don't really have much to say. It's like, wow, this is really, really good.
I would just add that I've sit on a lot of different boards. This is the easiest evaluation. Actually, it's probably, if you think about it, maybe the most difficult, because you keep going and going, okay, there's got to be someplace in here, and then you go, not really. So I tried to make my whatever thoughts in the comments, because not only in the way, if we were doing this in a vacuum and only this was the only thing I had to compare you to, it would be this way. But compared to others that, of course, chair a couple of these other organizations as well, and I'm going, man, how would Tom do this? What would Tom do in this situation? So I think that it's more than just how you perform, but how you set a standard for others to perform. That's been good for me. So, piece of cake to do this one.
Yeah, that first thing I thought was, he checks all the boxes, literally. You go up and down.
I do have somebody tabulated it wrong, because I put 5+ a couple times.
well, there's the one on the managing in a crisis that I always love to come back to and say this should be like a 10 on that one, or 12. But the way we went through COVID, and but kind of along the lines what you just said, sit on other boards also, and I found myself last week even sitting through one of these evaluations with somebody else and saying, well, one thing that I will tell you, Tom Labasso always keeps us very well informed, that if somebody brings up something in a board meeting, we're hearing from it, if not that day, within 24 to 48 hours, depending on how much digging or research you got to do on it.
But especially with both sports.
Oh, championships, tournaments. But, the thing is it's continuous, it's consistent, it's collaborative. Mm-hmm. When I just, look at this and I think of all the evaluations I've had to do over the course of my banking career, I can't recall one where I just kept going. I was like you, trying to say, okay, there's got to be something here I could rate a 4 or 3 or something. And there wasn't. Thank you. You do. I think you make our job way easier, number one. And number two, I think it it sets the course too for us for the future as well. You're constantly thinking about, okay, not only where are we today, but where can we be down the line? So thank you.
Thank you.
Well, so much has been said that I would say I appreciate honesty in these reviews, and over my course of fun being an employment litigator. And so I'm always kind of looking like, are we really being honest? And so I look at every single one very seriously, and this is a really honest review.
It is.
You're just exceptional. Your leadership's exceptional, and your team, I think, follows your lead. And so we are a lucky board. I keep telling my husband, like, well, one day there might be a controversy, but not yet. Because I think you keep us informed, and you're always on the right track, and we're heading in the right direction, and we're there together. And so I just really appreciate all the pieces.
Thank you.
Yeah, so same with everything that everybody has said. The thing that I'll add, Tom, that I think is so impressive is there are a lot of people on this campus who would take a bullet for you. And I think that you lead in a way that makes people want to do well. It's not because they have to. It's not because, you know, you are financially motivating certain performances or whatever. It's like you make them, they want to do well for you. And that is very rare and very impressive. So that's a lot.
Yeah, we're going to take another lap. But no.
Yeah, I got one more too.
But just on Nellie's comment, and we talked about this a little bit, leadership style. Leadership isn't because you're doing it. Leadership is that you're helping others motivate themselves to do it. And you don't lord over them. You allow them to flourish and to push their initiatives. And so if you see Will done, or you see Jody, or you see Alan, or whatever, they're all trying to meet that standard of excellence, and that's leadership. And the other thing is, I have a very good friend, and we talked about it, who will go nameless, and his institution will go nameless, but he's on the board of a state college, and was calling just for, like, what are you guys doing at Daytona State College? And do you have this issue, or do you have that issue, and do you do this, and do you do that? And I was able to kind of showcase, but it was you. It wasn't the board. It was, you know, this is a fellow or a colleague, a trustee at an institution. Let me tell you, their leadership is totally different, and they have their hands full. And I'm thinking of his tenure now on that board, and I'm like, I feel so sorry for you compared to what we are doing. And so even invited him. I said, come on up, you know, come over, and we'll sit down and we'll talk a little bit and coach you up. That's not a sunshine law violation, and, you know, take some of the best ideas and try and bring that back, but you're the exemplar. Mm-hmm. And so it makes a huge difference.
One other thing I've meant to say, I appreciate our one-on-one pre-board meeting conversations, because I feel like, legitimately, I feel like I can say whatever I want to say. Mm-hmm. I can ask whatever question I want to ask. I can even disagree with you initially, and we'll talk it out, because we've done that many times, right? Like, here's you, and I hear my point, and you kind of give me some more information, and I think even if I end up maybe not being completely and totally there, I understand the perspective. And so I think Nellie's point about, and Kelly's point about honesty and the integrity of the process is really good. I mean, I know Lynn dreads the scheduling the time to do the one-on-ones with me. Okay, I get it, but I don't dread the actual time. I look forward to it, because I know when I'm all done, I'm gonna have a much better understanding. And quite frankly, it helps me prepare. I look at the material because I know that it's relevant. It's not a waste of time. It's not just busy stuff. And so I just, Keep chasing me down, and I'll try to do a better job of picking the time, but I do appreciate the time.
Randy, I don't know how many times Lynn comes to all of us going, can you get Randy to respond?
Yeah.
You know, so. Okay. But, you know, Tom, one of the things, too, is that I think, you know, I didn't see the comments. I'm sure they'll be somewhere in terms of our comments, you know. But one of the things that I made in the summary part was navigating the outcomes and fiscal impacts of this year's legislative session is, I but I know you'll adapt accordingly. You always do. And but from one year to the next, it's so challenging, you know, and especially this year and last year, but it's become increasingly, hopefully next year will be better. But additionally, I know we're trying to take student housing to the next level, and we'll get those funds raised, but also too, I think there's some opportunities from a structural standpoint that we can discuss further and all that, and that might help us, you know, kind of along the lines of some of the things that we're having to talk about.
Thank you.
I think we were good with our first pass.
Well, I just want to say, you know, thank you, you know, for the support. It's a wee effort. You know, I can only do what we can do as a team, you know, so, you know, your support and trusting me to, you know, take on initiatives and run with them, you know, is what makes the difference and makes me, you know, get up every morning and go, okay, you know, let's go, let's do it. So, so yeah, we've run a pretty fast and furious pace for 11 years, and you know, so it's been really enjoyable. Really got to see a lot of these initiatives that we talk about through and completed, not just, you know, talked about and kind of strung out. So that's been real exciting. But again, it's the support of the board that has made that possible, and I know that, and I appreciate it, and I don't ever take it for granted. And I do appreciate the one-on-ones, and I learned from you as well. All of you bring expertise to the table, and from time to time I've tapped into those. So, you know, so I learned from you as well. And again, having a team, senior staff team that's, you know, really embraces, you know, what we're doing. And yeah, I think it's nice to see that in general people are excited about everything we're doing. And that's nice to see. You don't want it to just be done just because someone says to do it, you know, so. I'm glad that you see that, because that to me is important, you know, really, that people are excited to tackle these projects and not like, oh, here's another, you know, crazy idea that we're doing or something, you know. So, yeah. But anyway, thank you. It's been you know, another good year, and I want to thank you for your support. And I think this is my cue to go to the restroom.
Okay.
In building 100.
This one's not working all of a sudden.
Do we talk about the board evaluation?
Yeah.
And then?
Yeah.
We also really don't
really have to stay for yourself.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to stick that
way. Because that's your evaluation.
You're free.
I'm free?
Yeah. Done. Clearly, yeah.
Accepted.
Yeah.
So he'll do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Get all your stuff?
Yeah. Rodney, you're up.
I don't think we really need to talk about ourselves, right? We all think we're doing it. We're gonna make that real quick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do yourself email first?
Yeah, we'll just, I mean,
I
am humbled and honored to serve with each and every one of you. This is a blessing. This is a great board, and with the leadership that we have, and you know, again, if we're giving ourselves less than five, maybe there's something wrong with the person in the mirror. You know, so I'm looking at it like I'm enthusiastic. I'm excited about every time we meet, and all the discussions and the ideas and the possibilities for the future. So, you know, that's the self-evaluation. Right. I think we're pretty damn good.
Yep, I'm with you.
I yield my time to my left.
Same.
The only thing I would add would be that it, on top of what you just said, it is such an honor to work with you all. It really is for me. And
which should be.
I would agree. I would agree. And again, like all of us, you know, we've sat on multiple boards, okay, and we've sat on some pretty shitty boards too, okay?
Yeah.
Not this one. Yeah. This one has just been an honor, and I mean, it's hard to believe I'm in my 12th year doing this now, 12 years, and it's so awesome to be a part of this board. I tell people that all the time. This institution is just amazing to represent. So that's it.
Great.
Okay.
We're ready.
Okay.
Talking about our awesome
work. Great.
Welcome to the awesomeness. Now back to real business.
I think we're still being good.
So I had the opportunity to talk to Randy, and he wanted to show me some of his proposals and recommendations to pass on to you for your discussion and feedback. So first of all, he wanted to say that starting with Dr. Lobasso's current base salary, that is $365,000, he proposed to increase that to $383,500, which would be an increase of about 5.1%. Next category, and we're just going over just his base and his allowances, is his auto. The current allowance for auto is $21,000. The proposed increase would be $24,000, and that is approximately a 14% increase. And then the last item is a one-time payment that he receives every year. The current contract is for $50,000, and the proposal is $67,500, and that is a 35% increase. So the total guarantee of his current contract is, or of the compensation allowances, would be $436,000, and the proposed would be $475,000. So that's roughly about a 9% increase. And he says this is a little larger than normal. But I mean, for several reasons, he feels this is justified. You know, he's been one of the longer serving presidents. As you said in your evaluation, he's doing a great job. He's very, very well respected in the community. You, his fellow presidents, the FCS leadership, the chancellor, et cetera, as well as with the Florida Department of Education. And he feels that, Randy feels that this would lend to extending his term another year as well.
So that's what I was going to say, is that, you know, I think Tom's energy level, his enthusiasm, his forward thinking, he's not slowed that process down. And as long as that's what he's doing, we want to try to, I think selfishly, we just went through this, right? Keep him as long as we can. And I actually would have suggested the $50,000 one-time payment that I think you said was $67,000, that was the recommended number?
Yes, it is.
I would have.
$67,500.
I would have actually suggested $75,000, except that gets him to where it'll start with a five. And I think that could be a bad headline, potentially. So I'm not gonna sit here and suggest, you know, we do something different. Although I think $67,000 seems to be an interesting number to me. I would have thought 75 was better. Maybe it's 74, so that it starts at, so it's 499 something, but. I would recommend a higher number.
Yeah, I'm going to defer to Chairman Howard on this.
Okay.
And while I agree with you, Randy, it's like, you know, listen, we all feel that strongly, but I think you're the hair on the back of your neck about the five I think that's well-founded.
Yeah.
And however, Chairman Howard and in talking to Dr. Labasso about it, I think that, look, I'm comfortable with the numbers that are there, and I think that does get us not only reward for performance,
yeah.
Past performance, but gives us that momentum into an additional year, which I think is substantial. You know, and the only other comment I'll make on it is, gosh, I think about if we had to go through a presidential search, this group, and during our tenure, you know, that's a toughie. And, you know, especially with the environment right now in Tallahassee, and I'm like, wow, are we, knock on wood, but it's like we are in a good position. I think we maintain it. And again, I'm going to defer to recommendations from Dr. Howe.
Quick question. Does the one-time payment go into a retirement account?
No, it's one-time. So according to the contract, it said after the contract's extended by X date, I think it's usually July 30th of that new contract year, one-time payment shall be made to.
Okay.
What's our contract today expiration? I thought last year when we went for this, we went to 27.
It goes to 27.
Yeah, so this will take it to 28?
If he extends, what would we do is,
or
yes, what we would do would be amend the contract to these proposed salary, auto, one-time payments, and then if the decision is to extend, that would extend it, that amendment would extend the term as well.
I believe that he will.
He told me this week he would.
What?
Yeah, I think he and I had that discussion.
I think
it was secret.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So he'll go through 28 right now.
I've been pushing him since the last one.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, whatever you're going to do.
Okay. Okay.
Do we need a
motion?
I will also for just.
Yeah, sure.
He also said he didn't want to address the retirement for the compensation because it was already a little bit on the high side. So just want to leave that as it is.
What is that? Remind me?
He has a deferred compensation plan.
Okay.
And he also has a 401A plan and a 404B plan.
That he pulled out from what we're giving him, or is an additional contribution from?
457 deferred plan is currently.
Uh-huh.
401A is currently going on. 403B was an addition the 403B contributions from the college started beginning of last fiscal year.
So that's part of it.
We had to change it.
Yeah, because right. there was a conversion.
Right.
Yeah.
What's the employer contribution in all those plans on an annual basis?
The 403B is roughly $27,000. 401A is $61,000. And the deferred comp is roughly 457B is roughly
81,000
to 82,000.
Okay.
86 and 20. 60. Okay. And also, Randy wanted me to add another suggestion for discussion about a clause, and I think it's more for to keep. I'm here for an additional year of having a clause saying something to the extent the president's still serving as of June 2029, the college would guarantee a one-year effective contract, and the compensation would be equal to, you know, the faculty member of the same, highest compensation faculty member of the same discipline and qualifications.
That makes sense. That's a great idea.
That makes sense.
What does that mean? Sorry.
So, assuming there is an extension for 2028, a clause would be included, say if you, the president, are still employed as the president as of June 2029, because that's when his contract would end, then you'd be a full-time faculty member. Not the compensation would not be as president, but as the highest compensated faculty member of the same qualifications, disciplines, etc.
But he wouldn't be working. He'd be done as president?
Yes.
So he'd be done as president.
He had like an exit, a parachute plan.
The idea is to keep him engaged with the institution.
Okay.
So if he is, he extends to 2028, so having this discussion, April of 2027, for his 2028 to extend that. So. But he wanted to put that.
Keep him engaged.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
It's just another incentive to keep it.
Yeah, great. I sound great to me. I'm good with all of the recommendations. So.
Now do you want a motion?
No.
We can't do a motion.
Can't.
You can amend the contract and then
what?
We can have a consensus. Yeah. Because the motion would
then
be.
Then we vote on the motion.
Consensus.
At the
board meeting. Not today, yeah, though.
Not
when
tonight.
The agreement's ready.
Yeah, when the agreement would be ready.
Okay.
Which,
yeah.
I think it'll be amended.
Sounds like we have consensus.
We have then reached a consensus.
Yes.
Do I have a nod of the heads?
Consensus.
We have everyone nodding in the affirmative.
Sounds good. So we have a consensus.
Affirming.
Proposed base.
As presented.
As presented.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Awesome. With our thanks to Randy.
With our, yes.
Yeah, Randy.
Thank you.
And with our thanks to Randy and with our thanks to you. I appreciate
yeah.
you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you very, very much.
Thanks. I'd like to see you all.
All right, very good.
Let's get over.
Yeah, we're done.
We're done.